if you're new with us today, we want to say welcome. And, you know, we're in week number two, as Eric said, of this series called In the Name of Love. And we're taking a look at how, really, you know, every single one of us is always in everyday normal situations. We seek approval. We kind of feel like we need to prove ourselves. And there's really nothing wrong with that. In fact, we do that day in, day out. There's a number of ways that we seek that. In fact, one of the things we're going to be looking at today is how oftentimes in this room right here, in the bathroom, we seek to kind of give an impression of people to ourselves. In fact, we just saw here that statement near the end from Claire, hey, you guys are the ones, you know, it's your approval that told me I can do this. I actually could succeed here. You know, we have to ask ourselves, where do I look for my approval? And you know, we all need approval. We all want approval. There's kind of this need that I think is put inside of us to get that, but we have to ask ourselves, is it in our comparing ourselves to others? Is clothes that we wear, how we make ourselves up. You know, I mean, there's a number of ways that we go about trying to seek approval of others. And yet, as we look at this whole idea of pride today, and specifically vanity, you know, what we begin to realize that sometimes we need to unroot our pride in order for us to actually be capable of loving. For it's only when we feel approval from God that we actually are capable of really having healthy relationships and just living out in healthy ways in our lives. So we're going to take a look at that today. My name's Kurt, by the way. I'm pastor here at Cross Point. Really excited you're here with us this morning. As Eric said, we got a great service plan. Before we do anything else, though, let's just take a moment and pray. God, I'm thankful that we can gather in this room. I'm thankful that there's a place we can go in our culture where we can gather in a room like this and we can actually dive through and kind of sift through some of the issues that we really don't deal with anywhere else in our lives. This whole idea of pride, you know, what we've been learning is pride is very unnoticeable to us, at least in ourselves, and it has a way of digging deep roots, of burrowing deep roots in our lives, and in many cases, we don't even realize how it manifests itself in our lives. We feel the pain of it sometimes. We have relationships that go sour. We have work relationships, job situations that it may manifest itself in, and yet we very rarely see that maybe there's something inside of us that's deeply rooted that's causing this. And so I would ask today, God, that as a result of our time here today, that you would in some way help us to see that, help us to identify some clear pathways to addressing and unrooting some of the places where pride exists. Pray these things in your name and according to your character. Amen. Well, I never thought the day would come. I think God is looking down and smiling today that there's actually a throne on our stage. I mean, isn't it interesting that this thing actually carries the connotation of a throne? I mean, you know, it's an interesting thing. In fact, you know, when you think about it, the bathroom is an interesting place. There's all kinds of behaviors, all kinds of activities that happen in this place. And yeah, I think what's interesting is it's one of the places where pride really begins to kind of dig its roots down deep. In fact, has anybody noticed how cold it is in here this morning? Did they like turn the AC on a few moments ago or something? Because I'm like feeling very chilled at the moment. I'm going to do this right here. Now for some of you, you hear laughter and you're like, what's the big deal? Like, I don't get it. Why is there laughter going on? Well, you see, I don't normally wear, in fact, I have never worn like this in Cross Point before. These are not the kind of threads that I wear. You know, there's nothing wrong with this. I mean, people show up in churches all over the country in it, but you know, unless you've been to a funeral I've performed or a wedding, you have not seen this broke out right here. And yet today, I want to talk a little about this because, you know, we regularly, there are certain fashions or certain logos or certain types of apparel that we wear that have something to do with our identity. And for me, my fashion is really simple. If it doesn't itch and it doesn't bind, I wear it, all right? And this is all about itching and binding right here, all right? So I'm going to do my best to be dramatic in, you know, what I do today. And yet, you know, there's something about this. You know, for many of us, and there's nothing wrong with wearing a coat to church or to other places in life. I think the question we have to ask ourselves is, what is this? Why am I actually doing that? Why do I wear some of the things I wear? Why do I project myself in certain situations the way that I do? You know, where am I seeking my approval from? And as I said, I know people wear these into church every weekend. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong if you were to wear one here today or if you're in one right now. But one of the things I've been learning over the last number of years is that this was a big status symbol for me a few years ago. In the first church that I worked at, I was in a setting where our church was reasonably traditional, a large church, a number of staff members. I'd show up, man, they were in suits and ties when I showed up there. And so I just began wearing one of these every day. Now get this, I was the student ministries director, all right? And yet I thought that, well, I guess I'll fit the bill And so there was a certain part of it that had to do with actually just fitting the part or playing the role. But what I quickly began to realize, I'd go out and I'd do some of the things that there in that setting pastors were supposed to do, like visiting people in the hospitals and caring for people. We had a lot of older people in our congregation. So I had one whole day I spent in the hospital caring for people each week. And what I realized, man, I was like 23, 24 years old at the time. But man, people had a respect for me when I dressed this way. And so I began dressing this way every day. In fact, my pastor, my boss, my senior pastor said, Kurt, I have never met a student ministries pastor that dressed like you in my whole life. And I don't think it was a compliment. I think it was kind of a slam. And I'm like, I know. I mean, people actually think I'm somebody important at the hospital. They're like, oh, are you a pastor? I mean, you look like a college kid. And so there was something about this that began to create my identity. It was a part of me shaping and kind of feeling, man, people approve of me. They actually think I can do this job. Speaking of parts, it wasn't just the coat. I had a part going on. I had a preacher part. I had like the swoop over going on. I played the part all the way around. I mean, I had it all together. And you know, there's something in the Bible. There's something actually in the Proverbs that talks about, you know, there's always pride before the fall. And I had a fall that came my way. I'm going to tell you what. I thought that this was all what made me, you know, good at what I did or validated my role as a pastor. And one particular day, I was heading into, it was actually my day off. I was going to my wife's school. She's a teacher. And I went into her classroom. This is before we had kids. I used to volunteer in her classroom periodically. And I went and I showed up at the beginning of the school year on the first, second week of school. Kids hadn't met me yet before. She had shared with them before I arrived, Mr. Walters is coming to help us today. And so I walk in the door, and I don't know if I had a suit on. It was my day off, but I still probably kind of dressed it up, and you know, had the hair all perfect. And as you can see, I haven't used a comb in like 7 years, so it all went a different direction. But I walk in, and my pride took a fall. One of the students, second grade students, I hear her whisper to Julie, "Mrs. Walters, is that your dad?" I'm like 25 years old at the time. And I'm like, your dad. I'm like, how old do you think she is? And the student was like, well, she's like as old as my babysitter. She's in junior high. And I'm like, well, that explains it. It's all because Julie looks young and I look like 25. But what I began to realize was that, you know, I was trying to dress and be a certain person in order to be validated. And it really began to reveal some things in my life. In fact, I shortly after that came across this scripture from Proverbs right here. It really connected with it after this. You know, it says, a man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. You see, God wants to take us from a place of being low to actually replacing that with a lowly spirit. And over the last number of years, I feel like God's really been working on that with me. He's really been showing me that, you know, it's not all about what you have going on out here. You know, and I'm all for like, you know, giving my best game and putting my best foot forward as I stumble over that word. And, you know, I mean, I'm all about doing that. And yet at the same time, you know, it's where do I receive that validation? Where does the core of that really come from? And so I want to talk about what that looks like today. I want to talk about how maybe out of some of the missteps in my life, some of the brokenness I've experienced, you know, one of the things I've learned over the years is that as I kind of dialogue on my brokenness and paint pictures of what it's looked like in my life, maybe it shakes free a few of the roots in your life. Maybe as you get pictures of this, you can say, you know, yeah, this is how it plays out in my life as well. And we can actually take some steps forward and create some change. And so today I want to talk about some of the things I've discovered in how we play this game called pride, this game called vanity. And as we do this, I really want us to approach pride as something that's living. I want us to think of it as a living thing, as something that has a personality, as something that even, you know, has a voice to it. It has a personality. It has an intention to it. It's this voice that oftentimes we hear through our lives, and something comes out of our mouth, and I'm like, who in the world said that? That wasn't Kurt. And we can very clearly begin to say, you know, that's pride speaking through me right there. And so three things. First thing I began to realize a number of years ago, and I'm still working on today, is that pride's lifeblood is comparison. It's comparison. I don't think I really need to explain what comparison is. I think we understand that. We know, but here's the deal. Comparison is the game that pride plays. And what's interesting is when you interact and read the stories of Jesus, when you read the teachings of Jesus, you begin to real quickly see that Jesus regularly talks about a height. It's usually this height thing that's going on right here. And there's this theme. In fact, if you were to search go to Google and search pride in the Bible, you would quickly come up with a number of words that in some way communicate elevation. You know, words like purge or hide or high or immediately falling, it have something to do with downfall, indicating in some way that pride always comes on high. And if you think about it, that's what the comparison game is all about. It's always about, am I higher than the person next to me? Am I better than the person next to me? Am I a more productive employee than the person next to me? Is my boss happier with me than the person next to me? Am I a better parent than my spouse? I mean, every single day it plays itself out in these evaluation comparison games. And you know what's interesting about it is this game always requires you to come out on top. I mean, it never allows you to see yourself as maybe a little bit below someone else. It always requires you to come out on top. You see, nobody ever can be below us when we play the comparison game. And what's fascinating about this is when pride is really working at its best, when that voice is really driving forward, usually we don't even see it. And you see, there's a problem. I realize there's a problem with this game. And in fact, the problem is some of the things that Jesus says about it. Take a look at Matthew chapter 9 here. There's this fascinating encounter Jesus had. It said, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick, for I have come to call the right, not to call the righteous, but the sinners." So right here, we see it. This is the comparison game going on right here. This is how the Pharisees are concluding. They're kind of deducting, saying, hey, we're way up here. Why is Jesus always with the people down here? And even in the way they refer to the sinners, you know I've learned about sinners, myself included? I don't need people to point out how sinful I am. I know that. I very quickly can identify that, but they're almost using this to say, hey, we're up here. Jesus, he interacts with people down here. Why is this? You see, why is this? They're trying to use this as an elevation point. And so I began to realize that, you know, Jesus is always the smartest guy in the room. Jesus always knows the right answer. And so notice what he says right there. He says, hey, I didn't come for the people up here. I actually came for the people who are down here, for the people who are low in spirit, for the people who, man, I'm struggling. I'm down there. I feel like I got to get all my stuff together. I came for that group of people. In fact, I the people that think that, man, I'm up here, I don't know that Jesus really had all that much to say to this group of people. He was always coming for the people down here. And this is fascinating to me because as I play this game out in my mind, this comparison game, what I begin to realize is there's a huge problem for us that like to play this game. We can never be down here. We always have to be up here. I mean, even spiritually we play it out. We're like, man, I'm a lot more spiritual than that person. That church is a lot more spiritual than this one. I mean, we play this the comparison game all over the place. And it's interesting because, you know, 2 years ago, I began to identify how this was playing out in my life. We do this thing called an all-church journey here at Crosspoint, and we do it every year for 6 or 7 weeks. We all kind of go down the same path, studying the same material. We give you some free resources to do some stuff on your own. And in this particular journey, one of the things we did is we went through about a 2 or 3 week period of time, and we just kind of tracked our spiritual highs, our spiritual lows, our emotional highs, our emotional lows, the days in the week, the moments in the day where we really seemed to be on it, and times where we really seemed to be struggling. And as I kind of completed that and I looked over the span of this 3 week period of time, I found that some of my lowest days were days after my highest spiritual highs. And that kind of was interesting to me. Because I thought, you know, wouldn't I be on a spiritual high coming out of a really high spiritual event? And yet, usually the next day, I'm usually down in the dumps. In fact, Mondays are my worst days of the week. I mean, there's something about the weekend at Crosspoint, the energy and what I pour into what we do and kind of the emotional vulnerability and the relational vulnerability of standing up and kind of burying your soul in front of people that just kind of drains me. I mean, it's very draining on me. And so I initially said, you know, on Mondays, man, I just wake up and I'm tanked. I mean, I'm emotionally and spiritually spent. It's true. Over the last six months, really, the most difficult day of the last 6 months was the day after Easter. I mean, Easter was like this highlight. I mean, it's the reason we do everything else we do around here. It was a great day here at Crosspoint. It's our largest Sunday ever. And yet the next morning, I wake up and I can't see past my nose. I'm so nearsighted. I'm in the tank. I mean, I can compare. And what I began to realize was, you know, maybe one of the reasons I'm so low on those days is it's God reminding me, Kurt, you didn't produce that stuff. As great as that day was, you played your role, but I'm the one that showed up and did this, because I can quickly begin to be like, man, we really knocked it out of the park today. I mean, I'll send stuff to our team, and I'll be like, man, PJ nailed it, volunteers nailed it, and I'll begin to realize that, man, we are producing a great event. I'll sometimes go and Facebook other people, and I'll be like, I wonder if we were as good as their church was today. I mean, I do crazy stuff like that. And I realize maybe this is God's way of bringing me down and showing me that, man, that verse was for me. When Jesus said, hey, I came for the lowly. I came for those who see themselves in a lowly place. Man, Jesus was really speaking to me. And it's interesting because, you know, something interesting about the throne, the toilet. Have you ever noticed? If you find yourself playing the comparison game, here's what you ought to do. Here's what you ought to do. Just picture, whether you think you're better than somebody or you're lower than somebody, you're like, man, they're a lot better than me, just picture them on the toilet for a moment. I mean, it has a way of like leveling the playing field. It's like, hey, their stuff stinks just like yours, all right? The last thing I checked, everybody's stuff stinks. And there's something about this right here that just levels the playing field. It brings us to a lowly place. On my Mondays, when I'm kind of sitting on the toilet, I think pride loses a little bit. I think pride loses out. Because for me, that's when I realize, man, I'm down here. I'm lowly, man. Without God, I'm nothing without Christ. Man, I who am I to judge other people? Who am I to say, look at everything I did? I'm lowly on Mondays. And it's like God saying, hey, I came for the low in spirit. There's a value, there's a virtue in lowliness. And you know what's interesting is if you've never found yourself in that lowly place or you don't find yourself there often, then let me tell you what, you're missing part of what God has in store for you. Because that's often where we connect with God. And if you've never found yourself low before God, if you've just never kind of found yourself in that humble place before God, I really don't know if you've experienced God in the truest sense yet. Because it usually comes in those lowest moments. So pride, I mean, the lifeblood of pride is comparison. Second thing I've been growing in is this whole idea that pride needs to be recognized and rewarded. I mean, if you notice, whenever we get recognized and rewarded, there's something that feeds that inside of us. In fact, I've been in a learning lab for the last 3 months on this deal. My wife Julie had a surgery mid-January and was non-walking. She was in a non-walking cast for 2 months and then in a walking boot for the third month, but non-driving the whole time, which meant that I was like this chauffeur. I felt like I was working on the side, chauffeuring as my present job. I mean, I'm taking kids to and from and, you know, running her to home from school. She had a number of people pick her up to go to school. I just felt like this was my life. And don't get me wrong, I'm pretty engaged with my family, with my kids, involved in their stuff, but I was not prepared for all that I was going to take on during those 3 months. And I found myself, my appreciation, if you're a single parent, my appreciation for you just shot through the roof. I mean, I just realized, man, when you are on your own raising any number of children and you are the sole person responsible for getting them where they need to go, man, I you know, kudos to you, man. You went through the roof for me. And I realized I could never do that. And what I also began to realize is I found myself, especially with Julie, wanting to tell her all the good things that I was doing. I'm like, Julie, did you notice? Did you notice what I did? I mean, I did it without even getting angry. There was like moments where, I mean, I hated the idea. I hated the idea that there were things I was doing that nobody was noticing. And so I'd find my pride wanting to out itself, like wanting to tell people about it. And so, you know, before long, I just want some reward. I'd be like, Julie, did you see this? And sometimes she'd be like, man, honey, that was really good. Way to go. And you know, like, oh, that, you know, because pride likes to be rewarded. You know, what's interesting about this is Jesus continued to deal with this group of people called the Pharisees. And they were very similar to this. They did everything in public. They always wanted to be rewarded for what they did. In fact, Jesus interacted with them regularly. Here's another account out of Matthew with them. It says, everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels and their garments long. Phylacteries and tassels were things they wore to kind of identify their status as rabbis. They loved the place of honor at the banquets and the most important seats at the synagogues. They loved to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have people call them rabbi. But, Jesus said, the greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. There it is again, the high-low thing. We got the high-low thing going on again. Jesus says, hey, the Pharisees, they're kind of like the clearest representation of this whole idea of pride. I mean, this is what it looks like. And you're like, I don't do that. I don't wear phylacteries. I don't wear tassels on my clothes. I don't have no crazy stuff like that. Well, here's maybe what it looks like. This is from Allie Patterson, kind of a paraphrase of this. She said, here's what it looks like. Everything they do is done for people to see. They wear visible logos and labels and call it fashion. They love to be seen in the front row or box seats at the opening of the hottest show. They love when lots of people know them and call them by their titles in the atrium, things like sir, doctor, pastor. But this is not what the kingdom of God, how the kingdom of God works. For God says, whoever does this, he will bring them down. But whoever puts himself low will be honored. Now, as I read this, I thought, man, that strikes a chord. That strikes home right there. In fact, as I read that earlier this week, I thought, man, I've been really attuned to the whole pride thing over the last 2-3 weeks as I've been preparing for this series. And I've been talking about how you rarely see pride in your own life. So I actually read that Monday. I got some tickets to a Pacer game that afternoon, went to a Pacer game Monday night, some really good seats sitting down front where like I'm looking up at the guys. And the first thing I'm doing down there to my buddies, hey guys, look where I am. I'm texting them. I'm in the front rows. I'm down like close. I mean, and I'm like, Kurt, you're still not getting it. It's like, and here's what I noticed. When I do that, when that voice begins to speak out of me, I began to realize that's not my voice. That's the voice of pride. That's that living personality inside of me. That's got its roots deep. And it just really, when I behave that way, when I say these things, what I realize is, man, these roots are really, really deep in my life. And it's fascinating because you know, we have a hard time seeing them until we have moments like this. You know, pride has an interesting way of playing this out. You know, I've been discovering, I've quit throwing the Pharisees under the bus so much. Because I began realizing, man, their behavior makes sense. My behavior at times makes sense. I'm just like them at times. It makes a lot of sense. And what I began realizing is that I think we were wired for reward. I think that God actually wired us to receive reward. And the problem with that is we're going after the wrong things in order to seek that reward. We think, you know, wearing the clothes or the fashion or looking like I'm a person of stature or trying to create, you know, importance, that it's out of these things that, man, I get my reward from these things. But what's interesting is pride tells us that's where it is. That's the reward. That's what God has in store. It's when pride speaks in my head and says, Kurt, you know, God's not seeing what you're doing right here. God doesn't know the extra effort you've just put in, you know, to your teaching for Sunday morning. God doesn't know the extra things you gave up in order to serve him. You know, pride in my head says, you know, Julie doesn't really know the things you've been doing to serve your family. Unless you tell her, you know, you're not going to get a reward. And it makes sense. I have a desire for that reward, but I think what pride does is it wants us to work that out in some other way. It wants us to go after seeking that out from other people, another version of the reward that God has for us. And here's the deal, God has a reward. I mean, he talks about it. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, there's a whole section where he talks about this reward that Jesus talks about this reward he has for us. I don't know what it is. He doesn't give a lot of description on what it looks like, but what he says is it's there. And he says it's going to be much better than any reward you'll ever receive here on this earth. You see, pride wants to steal away that opportunity for you to taste that reward. It wants you to settle for something else. I mean, there's many times in my week where I just want Julie to whisper, Kurt, man, you were really good today. Man, that was awesome the way you know, cared for our daughter. Or I'll go into a meeting and, you know, I'll be in the middle of saying something and I'll drop some comment about something. I'll just go, oh, crap. There it goes again. Why did I say that? Because I want people to step back and be like, Kurt, man, you are awesome. Way to go. And you nailed it right there. I mean, it's not unroutine for me right now, as I'm really aware of this, to be in the middle of a conversation and mid-sentence stop and be like, oh, sorry, I'm not going to tell you anymore. And they'll be like, oh, no, tell me, finish that. Nope, I'm going to save that for myself. Because I'm beginning to see how much pride has taken over. And I want to stop agreeing with this voice that says I need to tell people about it all. And I need to trust in the reward and that God has something better in store. Third thing, and probably the most important that I've really become attuned to, is that pride blinds us to even seeing God. You know, I think that realm where we struggle the most with pride, where we struggle to see God and hear God and on a daily basis, I think that's where pride is most rampant in our lives. That's where the roots are maybe running deepest. You know, we have people walking our doors every week here at Crosspoint from, you know, different spiritual trajectories, different spiritual persuasions, really cool. And we created this place for you. If that's where you are today, we created Crosspoint for you. So you could come and kind of explore stuff at your own pace and have the room to kind of figure out, you know, is Jesus really who he says he is? You know, what about the Bible? Is it really true? Is part of it true? You know, to kind of work out and figure out, you know, make your own conclusions about what you believe about God. And yet one of the things that's really interesting to me is I don't think I've ever really met anybody or know anybody, at least to date, who doesn't currently personally have a relationship with God that at the same time doesn't want to in some way see, feel, or experience the presence of God in some way. Even somebody who doesn't know God, most people are like, you know, I'd like some proof. I'd like to experience it in some way. And I think pride's ultimate goal is that we never do that, that we never experience the presence of God. I think sometimes we get a whiff of it when we come in here. We're like, ooh, man, there's something right there that really connected with me. And then we just dismiss it as something else. You know, the Pharisees, I mean, here's the deal. These guys are studying the scripture. If anybody was going to understand who this Messiah was coming was, if anyone was able to identify him, the Pharisees, they understood the scriptures. They memorized literally from Genesis to Malachi, word for word. They knew the scriptures inside and out. They could rattle them off. They could rattle off the verses about the coming Messiah. And yet what's fascinating to me is that when they came face to face with Jesus, they didn't see him. They couldn't identify that this was actually him. And Jesus was talking to his friends about this, and he just said something real simple to them. All he said was, hey, leave them. They're blind guides. They're way up here. I don't have anything to say to the people up here. I came for the people who are lowly. And it's like they're missing me because they're expecting me to be on their realm. And so there's Jesus. There's Jesus, literally God in their presence, and they're absolutely blind to it. They're just blind. And I think pride does this to us. I think in big ways and small ways as we have these experiences, I think God shows up in our world, in our community, in our services, and sometimes we're absolutely blind to what's going on. You know, this last week, for those of you who are in life groups, you know, we track in our life groups with the things we discuss on weekends. And this last week, we were talking about pride. And you know, if you're not in a life group, you know, I think it's something different than you probably believe that it is. You know, a lot of people think, man, it's just a Bible study. I'm going to get a lot of knowledge, and I'm going to have to explain the scriptures, and I'm going to be inept at that. I'm not really going to know what I'm talking about, and they're going to make me talk. You know, it's none of that. That's not what we do at all. We might read a scripture at some point that we referred to on the weekend. You know, others think, man, it's a prayer group. I'm going to be made to pray, and you know, that's not for me. It's not really that as well. It's a community. It's a place where we actually get, you know, we walk life together with one another. It's a place where we dialogue on some of these issues of pride right now. And we talk about where we're struggling with it, maybe where it's rearing its ugly head, what we can do about it. Someone shares maybe a win they had in overcoming pride, and the next person's like, oh man, that's what it looks like. I'm going to go after that this week. And it's interesting because this week in our group, we had just one of those moments where, you know, we're talking about pride and we're talking about how it rears its ugly head. And a number of our group began to share about a family relationship that's just gone south, primarily because it's rooted in pride. Myself included. I mean, I shared pretty openly about a relationship in my life with one of my family members that I just felt like had gone south over the years, and a lot of it had to do with pride. And as we were talking there, I tell you what, God showed up right there. I mean, there's this moment where amidst that, God showed up. And then abruptly, one of the kids had their fingers slammed in the door and, you know, crying, and two parents are running to check on that, and our group just abruptly ended. And I thought, you know, sometimes we think, man, if I don't have this formula of, you know, opening the Bible and really getting insight out of the text and, you know, growing deeply and taking in all this knowledge, nothing wrong with that. Or if it doesn't wrap up with a prayer and having, we're engaging with God, then I just can't have a spiritual moment. And yet, I think that's maybe pride speaking right there. To think that in the midst of this little carved out moment that God showed up. In fact, this first service today, I just got done talking about this. The band began to come on the stage. There was something back there that got moved as the band came up, and it screeched and made this god-awful noise. And, you know, I'm like, just pause and just totally blew the moment right there. And I'm like, whoa, wow. And then we kind of went on. And I, to be honest with you, I was a little kind of like, what was that? And yet, in my mind, I had a formula thinking, man, this has all got to go smooth, and we got to transition into music really nice, and I don't know what's going to happen in the next few minutes, I'm going to be honest with you. But if we think that maybe in some way God's maybe not even present, God's not present right now, then we may be missing the moment where God just wants to say, hey, when you make yourself lowly, I'm there. It's not a formula. It's not found in these spiritual, you know, hula hoops we sometimes go through. It may happen in the next moments for you. And one of the fascinating things is, you know, Jesus, in so many ways through the scriptures, he kind of says, hey, test me on it. Make yourself lowly. If you've never done this, make yourself lowly. Instead of thinking I got to get it together, make yourself lowly. Lower yourself into a place of lowliness and just see if you don't begin to see my kingdom. Just see if you don't begin to see me right there in front of you. And so this is really what I want us to focus on this week. As we think about vanity and the appearance and how do we project something, how do we make ourselves lowly amidst this stuff? And so I want you to take out your connection card that we referred to earlier this morning as we kind of walk this out. And there's a number of ways we can walk this out. We give you some next steps every week that you can at least process through and say, you know, well, what does this look like for me? And you know, I don't share all of this morning. I don't share some of my stories of brokenness, how this has played out in my life, so we can all sit around and be like, man, yeah, that stinks, man. I hate it when that happens. I mean, that's like what you do when you're just kind of everybody's in the same boat, but nobody knows how to get out. I mean, you know, I really hope these pictures maybe stir something in you. Maybe you're like, yeah, I've had a relationship like that go bad. I've had pride and fallen and really had to contemplate, you know, what's feeding that? You know, or maybe I'm stuck in that comparison game and I'm constantly comparing myself to others. And I constantly have to come out on top. And it's ruined relationships. It's ruined work situations. It may be even address, you know, it ruining your marriage, if I'm honest. And so, maybe the best thing we can do is continue to put ourselves in a low place, in a place of lowliness, addressing and allowing our approval to come from God, saying, hey, I don't have to put on the show, I don't have to play the game. My approval comes from God. He accepts me for who I am. And so a couple ways we can walk this out this week. There's the first one on the back here under the next steps is I will intentionally put myself in a low place. Anywhere where I say I'm above that, I want you to think to yourself, have you ever said in the last week or two, man, that's, I'm above that, that's below me. You know, maybe you thought about volunteering here at Cross Point. You're like, man, I want to volunteer, but I'm definitely above that right there. I'm more like created for this. Well, maybe you need to go to that place. Maybe a part of your walking path, this pathway out, creating a trend of lowliness is going to that place. Maybe it's in your neighborhood association. Maybe there's a call for the neighborhood cleanup, and you're like, man, I'll plant shrubs. I'm not doing trash. That's below me. Maybe a part of you walking this out this week is saying, I'm going to go there intentionally and lower myself and just see if I don't see the kingdom. See if maybe the kingdom doesn't show up in front of me right there. You know, second one here, I'll do good stuff in secret. You know, it's another way to walk this out this week, to kind of push against pride. You know, there's been a lot of emphasis over the last years on this whole idea of random acts of kindness. There's a great book written on that. Pay it forward, this idea of, hey, I pay something forward and that person pays it forward. All good stuff. But, you know, I think sometimes we get so caught in doing those things and we're like, hey, look at what I did. Look at what I started. And I think if Jesus were here today, he might say, hey, yeah, do that good stuff. Just don't tell anybody about it. And you're like, well, how long do I need to do that? Because, I mean, I need a little reward out of it. Well, here's what you do. You don't tell anybody about it, and you keep doing things in secret until you don't want to tell anybody about it anymore. And I'll tell you what, for me, I'm still working on it. I still want to tell people about it, obviously. I've shared all the failings of the last week. I still want to tell people. So I keep doing stuff in secret to try to train myself and create a pathway. Maybe you just don't know. Maybe you're like, man, I don't know where pride rears its ugly head. Maybe you just have not been able to get in tune with that. Hey, you know, invite God into it. Last week we talked about inhaling, exhaling. Invite God into your pride. Invite God to come and identify for you where some of those places are. Every day, start your day and say, God, I want you to reveal to me where I'm prideful today. And if you have a hard time identifying it, here's the next step you do. You go to your spouse or one of your coworkers, your friends, and say, hey, where am I prideful? And just get a piece of paper out and tell them you won't say a word while they talk. I guarantee you they will begin to identify some of that for you. It's there. Sometimes we have a hard time seeing it. And so the band's going to play as they do that. I want us to kind of think about how are we going to walk this out this week. What am I going to do to kind of surrender, throw up the white flag and say, I'm going to lower myself, God. I'm going to take on a position, a posture of lowliness in order that I might maybe experience your kingdom in a new way. So take a few moments, look over the next steps, maybe mark one, say, this is what I'm going to do this week, and then we're going to sing together.